You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. This is episode 238, but a quick hat tip to episode 237. I hope you enjoyed it. The very positive news coming out of Caldas, the guys who are behind the Legend of El Dorado mountain bike race, the only multi-stage mountain bike race internationally certified here in Colombia. These guys just set up on their own, and now this week it'll be rolling in. Well, of course they won't be rolling in, they'll be cycling in very fast down what we call the Champs-Élysées of Manizales to great fanfare. So very, very positive news, and I hope you picked up that vibe too. But this is episode 238, and I can't even remember the last time I had today's invitee on the show, because it's not online anymore. It's way back in my files, so it must mean it's more than 100 episodes ago. In fact, I think it was before episode 100. Imagine that. But a lot has happened since then, more than 3 years ago. So it's a great pleasure to have, I would say, jack of all trades, Jenny Levitt, back on the show. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you so much, Richard. Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. A lot has happened since we were last here.
That's
around
true.
Your table overlooking over Western Bogota.
Mm-hmm.
You have a most beautiful four-month-old daughter.
Thank you.
Congratulations on that. It's all downhill from here, having a three-year-old son. No, because girls are calmer, so therefore, well, that's
Hopefully.
What I've been
that's
told.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
And so fun. And but your other baby, and we were talking about this a little all those months and years ago, the first thing we talked about was your sparkling fruit juices, Corellia, that's Corellia.co for those, and we'll talk about those later. But the other one, which was just in its infancy, was this wonderful cookbook, which I'm now have in my hands, and that means it's out in the shops.
It is.
The Paris Picnic Club, which you, Jenny Levitt, and Shaheen Pirbai put together.
Exactly.
Tell us about this.
Well, Paris Picnic Club is a collection of recipes. It's a mixture of sharing platters, small plates, tartines, desserts, and drinks. It's all illustrated by me, actually. There are no photographs in the book. And it was born of this pop-up lunch series that Shaheen and I hosted outside of Paris and then in Paris over the course of a year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's very beautiful.
It's
a hardbound book, and the illustrations, I mean, you clearly, when we know this, you have a background in art.
I do.
It's not someone like me scribbling on the back of a pad somewhere. And it goes from drinks to desserts to main courses and starters.
Mm-hmm.
But the picnic club that you had, it began when you were in Paris as a student.
Exactly.
Okay.
I was in business school, and Shaheen was studying at Le Cordon Bleu, studying cuisine. And we met and bonded over food and basically this idea to host wonderful meals with a great, you know, communal atmosphere among fellow students and friends was born. And we just continued to do it. And it was just our mutual love of food that bore this project.
And you met your Colombian husband over the food at these picnic clubs?
Not quite. We met just before that started. I met him as soon as I got to Paris at a happy hour in a bar in one of the parks in Paris, where it's one of our favorite picnic spots. So there's that overlap. And then we decided to come back to Colombia after Paris.
Very good. Now, lots of people bond over food. I'll bond over food, but so long as I don't have to share it. But this is all about sharing.
It is about
sharing.
Exactly.
Food.
No.
I hate it. I'd rather order two of the same plates.
Really? That's so funny.
So people could then try that one.
That's funny.
It really annoys me. Because with my wife, and she says, oh, we'll share the dessert. And she just does it to watch my face. Anyway, she always ends up on the losing team for that one, because I'll eat it faster and faster. Yeah. But this is a really nice book, and there are things here inspired by Colombia.
I've seen
coconut rice and other things inspired by Colombia. But I mean, the element is French, and but it's not just a cookbook. It seems like it's largely cultural as well. You've got your favorite picnic spots in Paris all marked out. Mm-hmm. I like that. You've got all the quartier there. But tell us, when you started out, I mean, obviously people had to pay because you can't come out of your own pocket all of this. Mm-hmm. And they're students. So we're looking at... Well, maybe they're well-heeled students. I don't know.
No, it's a valid question. So we, really in the beginning, we were just trying out recipes together. And we mm-hmm. weren't trying to make a lot of money. And so for moule, which is like, you know, a common French mm-hmm. combo, lunch combo, basically, for a sandwich, drink, and dessert, we would charge between 6 and 8 euros. So it was affordable. And it was enough for us to make a little bit to keep going, to fund the next lunch and just experiment as much as we could with the local French flavors and other ethnic flavors that we found all over Paris.
So the best priced corrientazo in Paris.
Exactly, totally.
So
we were better priced than the formules at the train station.
Refectory at the university and everything else. I think you and obviously awesome food, just mm-hmm. looking at it. And you, of course, your business partner Shaheen, with her knowledge of cordon bleu, is trying to slide in every mm-hmm. element there. Obviously, you guys, you were here in Bogota and Shaheen was in London mm-hmm. doing this. There's a big time difference. This was all Skype and phone calls and Dropbox. And
exactly.
So I like that sort of thing. But yeah. So did you have to work on it and you kind of sort of hand it over and then she worked on it different hours? It's got to be hard.
So actually what we would do more than anything is use Google Docs, which is like a live document. So we would be on Skype and on Google Docs writing at the same time. And we'd kind of look at the details of the sentence, read it to each other, think, does that sound right? Because we also wanted the book to be a nice read. Mm-hmm. So every recipe has its own little anecdote to start out, to kind of set the scene. So it was a labor of love. It took a long time, 3 years in the making, basically. And we really, we wanted to put all of our mutual love for food and for this book together. And it was a lot of time over Skype. Technology
saves everything, doesn't it? But then it means you can never be offline, which is also
It's true.
But I do like these little anecdotes. Mm-hmm. Look at this. Asparagus, green, garlic, hazelnuts, and feta. That's just something that would really appeal to me.
Okay, good.
And look at this intro. Come April, you will find the open-air markets of Paris abloom with bunches of asparagus in green, violet, and white hues. The French have a particular affinity for the white variety, which they revere for its tenderness and sweet undertones. This recipe works for any color or thickness of asparagus. Thick stalks take slightly longer to cook than young skinny stalks, which only require a couple of minutes in the pan. It's almost like literature.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you know, ancho and apple cider pork shoulder. My mouth is salivating. There are a plethora of world ingredients to be found in Paris and La Grande Épicerie and the 38 Rue Sèvres. I mean, you've done it, and then there's this, you know, bread, etc. Of course, which is so important. Bread,
yes.
And of course,
especially in French cuisine.
I've had to cut it out of my diet. Oh. And, you know, that's one thing that really it puts on the pounds. But it's. I like this. This is the sort of thing I would buy either. You know, I'll buy it for Alba for a present, or for my stepmother for a present. I can see this,
and good.
I can see that the pickup has been positive. I looked at your reviews on Amazon, mm-hmm. And they were all verified purchases, which is it means a lot.
It does mean a lot.
You know, you haven't just filled it with all your friends saying this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Everything is positive. You know, you've got like 4.6 out of 5 or something,
really,
which
happy.
It's hard to get.
It's so hard. And actually, truth be told, in the beginning, we did this Amazon Vine program mm-hmm. where they send it to readers who sign up for the program,
yes.
And it's people who don't even necessarily have an interest in cookbooks or France or illustrated cookbooks or anything. So the first few reviews were coming in, and some people were saying, oh, I wish it had photos, and some people were saying, oh, I don't like picnics, and so, but eventually, really quickly, it kind of it made up for itself, and people who were really interested in it.
Well, you know, there's one thing to say about photos, but there's another thing to say about the artwork. And I think you've got a pretty defined, let's say, opinion. I mean, first of all, you've done the artwork, and my personal feeling is I can look at this and the Gravelax, the Capers and Sorrel, and the artwork, and it's beautiful. But it also gives me an opportunity as a novice cook to know that it doesn't need to be like the photograph.
Exactly, yeah, that's what we think too.
You know, I am not going to get it as good as the photograph or the painting, but but the painting allows for a little more creativity.
Exactly, there's a creative license there, and we've had great feedback actually from readers all over the world who have made the recipes, and then they use the hashtag cookthebook and they tag Paris Picnic Club, and we've been able to see how people take these recipes in different directions, because a lot of them, some of them have illustrations of the finished product, mm-hmm. but some are just illustrations of the ingredients.
Yes.
So your idea of what it should look like is really personal and subjective, and so people have come up with some really great creative things that we didn't even think of, and so it's worked out really well in that sense.
And there's some interesting things here, like mm-hmm. this is guava, chili, and lime.
Mm-hmm.
This is a nectar.
Exactly.
So this is a drink.
Exactly. All the drinks, a lot of them are nectars, where basically we make a concentrate-ish version mm-hmm. of a drink that you can then add sparkling water or regular water to, and you can keep that bottle in the fridge for a couple of weeks. Some of them are, like the one that was on the opposite page was green mango, fennel, and mint, which mm-hmm. is based on a drink from India, from Shaheen's childhood, which is so good, and we really love it.
Very refreshing with
Very
fennel
refreshing.
And mint.
Exactly.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cutting. Now, I like the idea of this cordial, vanilla, rhubarb, and blood orange.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Anything with rhubarb is, for me,
exactly,
is like a,
yeah.
is a winner. And, mm-hmm. and you can get it in Bogota now.
I know, surprisingly, it's easier to find.
This is very nice, and I'm looking at it, and as you say, there's a nice section of the back again as well, which gives a little explanation of who you guys are. But very nice book, very positive, very upbeat, and you've had several launches in Paris recently, mm-hmm. and of course Colombians will love this because it gives the international
yeah.
element to it. How was the launch received in Paris?
It was great, it was so fun. I had been back in Paris for a day or so at a time over the last few years. Shaheen goes more frequently because she's in London. But it was the first time we were back in Paris together since living there together at the same time. And so we had one launch event with Table Caché, which is like a pop-up group mm-hmm. in Paris in the Butte Chaumont Park, which is one of our favorite picnic spots. And they laid it all out like a formal dinner table, but as a picnic. So mm-hmm. that was really fun. And we had a book signing event. We had lots of different little tastings and interactive things for people to come meet us, to have their book signed, to taste some of the recipes from the book.
Mm.
And in general, it went really well, and we were so glad to have had the opportunity to do it.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And there will be a launch in Bogota at some point.
There will be a launch in Bogota. I'm aiming for September. We'll hopefully do a launch party and then some other events like cooking classes mm-hmm. and
that's a good way,
things.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it will be in Spanish?
It can be in Spanish depending on the group.
The book?
The book? Hopefully. I think that will be a next step of translating all the anecdotes, at mm-hmm. least.
You might lose
project.
A little bit of something in
yeah.
translation, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So for starters, it will be hopefully in some of the main bookstores here in English.
Yes, it will
okay.
be in hopefully in Panamericana okay. within the next couple of months, and some of the other smaller bookstores in Bogota.
Well, this is good. This is all very, very positive, and I can see this being a firm favorite amongst this, and you know, with 28 positive reviews, again verified purchases, that's a big deal. And I know a little bit about the publishing industry, not
yeah.
a lot, but I know a little bit about
yeah.
it. This is a cutthroat world.
It's so difficult.
You know, and there's any number of cookbooks out there too.
Exactly,
but they vary in quality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the truth
Definitely.
Of it. And there's the Paris Picnic Club. Let's go back to this. Let's go back to its origins right at the beginning, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, how many people would sign up for your picnics of you would release the menu on a Wednesday, mm-hmm. and there would be the picnic on a Friday. How many people would you get signing up?
So the first time we did the picnic, we only made 20 sandwiches. We figured that we'll just do 20 and we'll see if we sell them all and then go from there. And they sold like hotcakes, you know, in 5 minutes, everybody came and grabbed them up. And so we just kept increasing the numbers as much as we could per week, mm-hmm. until we got to about 80 guests each time. And that was kind of our maximum for logistics, because at one point we were both living in Paris already, and mm-hmm. we would still do some of the picnics on campus at Achesay. And we would get on the metro with 40 baguettes, all of the mise en place for the meal, get on the metro, and then another train, and then another train, and it would take us about an hour and a half to finally get to the picnic spot and get everything ready. So there's only so much we could physically carry and make happen.
I like that one of the first things, if not the first thing, in your small platters, Frenchie arepas.
There's arepas.
A proper hat tip to your husband and your adopted homeland.
Exactly.
Frenchie arepas. Very cool. With plum? No.
With caramelized plum jam on the top.
How does that go?
It's great. Right. The next time we meet, I'll have to make it for you. Yeah, I don't have something for you.
It's absolutely fine. I'm happy with coffee. Coffee is basically my one vice now as a father. So this is all very positive, and this will go from strength to strength, because you'll have a launch here and it'll plug you more into the Colombian crowd and the ex-black mm-hmm. crowd, and you know, word of mouth is the best thing for something of this nature, you know, to keep growing. So but people can get that on Amazon. The mm-hmm. price fluctuates regarding what Amazon feels, but somewhere between $20 and $25,
exactly.
which for me, for the quality of book, seems like a very generous offer.
Good.
In truth.
I'm glad to hear
so
that.
that's really positive. And as this is kind of like a catch up on how Jenny Levitt is doing after all these years, let's talk about your sparkling fruit juices, Corellia, and that's Corellia.co if you want to look up the website, because mm-hmm. they're very tasty. I've had the opportunity to try them not only here but at an event in, mm-hmm. in Bogota. And the company is set up, and you're providing restaurants now. Mm-hmm. This is a real success story.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been a long road, only because of all the bureaucracy, basically, in Colombia to open a business and get things exactly how they should be. So we constituted the company over two years ago, but we only launched into the market 6 months ago. And we're in restaurants all over Bogota. We're in general smaller restaurants where we feel like the vibe and the branding really goes along with Corellia well. Mm-hmm. And we're at the point where we hope to keep growing and keep, you know, bringing delight to people in their homes and in various other occasions all over Colombia.
Now, I call you on this as well. How was it to get your INVIMA licenses?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Because this is the Colombian sort of, let's say, health and safety.
Yeah, like the FDA.
Mm-hmm. authority, mm-hmm. which is right there on the Calle 64, because I used to live next door to it, pretty much, so
right
I know it very well. That's not easy.
It's not easy because the rules are not clearly stated. So you think you try to do everything perfectly according to what they say, even when it doesn't really make that much sense. And then there's just enough room for that person's subjective opinion for them to turn everything on its head and start again from zero. So basically they told us from the beginning we couldn't call it, you know, a sparkling juice, or we couldn't call it a refresco or whatever it was, because we were adding infusions, like herbs. And they said, well, that's not natural. They said, actually, yeah, they said it's not natural to have fruits and infusions or herbs together. And so we had to start again from the beginning so many times and convince them. We had these board meetings with them where we would say, it's completely natural. We do everything we can to not add preservatives, to not add coloring, to not add flavoring. And it's fine to mix, you know, ginger and blackberry. Like, that's great. It makes it even better. And eventually we got it, but it was a long process.
It's just like that's not natural.
It's just, it's their yeah. wording, their definition of the word natural or whatever is very different from ours.
I often find that you just have to make friends with these people.
I know, yeah. Well, like, I try that too, but...
It sounds like me with the tax authorities in my business. It's because everything, the goalposts seem to change regarding who comes over.
Exactly.
And if you don't make friends with them, I'm not saying slipping a 20 or something. I'm saying just being a reasonable person. It's like, well, what do I need to do to get this through under what you're saying?
Exactly.
Sort of things.
Like, yeah, that is the key.
But putting it in a very nice way and smiling and not losing my temper.
Those are all very difficult things, but yeah.
Very difficult things, because you come home and I'm not going to lie, I've got pretty gray hair at my temples and stuff. So it gets trying, these things. You try to do something, and you're trying, you know, you've got flavors like mandarin, passion fruit, blackberry, and something incredibly Colombian, lulo.
Exactly.
This is you're trying to sell Colombia a bit there through these flavors.
Yeah.
And you kind of want to get that across. It's like, I'm trying to be positive.
Of course, yeah. Exactly.
But now it's through. You pushed
now
it through. So
yeah,
let's not focus on
that hurdle. Yeah.
So you've got it in really good restaurants, and now you've got it in Bogota. Can you distribute beyond Bogota, or do you have to go to each different departments in Vima to do this?
No, Vima is a national,
okay,
it just covers the plant and the production facility, so
okay,
that's not an issue. Our biggest challenge right now, which we hope to overcome soon, is that since we don't use any preservatives, the drinks have a short shelf life of 1 month. And it has to be refrigerated. So we are looking into options for refrigerated transport, especially to places like Cartagena and Cali, because they're really refreshing. So especially in hot weather, we think that they do really well, and we've had lots of interest and requests to get the Corellias there. So we're hoping that soon we'll be in those places.
Because I mean, I've tried them, and I'm renovating a house in Montbos to do an top level things.
Exactly.
I would be really interested in it, but with 1 month, I could sell them all. But it's that transport.
Exactly, you lose time in the transport.
But if we put it on smaller offering and but just to get it out there, I would say rather than a business option. I mean, of course, it would be something to offer that would be offered nowhere else. But more, getting the word out more about Corellia,
because be the right places.
But I mean, I could see that. It's very good. So if you see it, if you're in Bogota, Corellia. Corellia.
Exactly.
Why is it called Corellia?
Corellia is the name of the mythical muse of the brand.
Yeah.
She's the one who comes up with these creative combinations that are kind of influenced by Italian sodas and renovated in Colombia and the tropics in which we find ourselves. And our idea with Corellia basically is that we want, even in Bogota, which can be a chaotic, rainy city where you kind of forget that you're in the middle of Colombia and in this tropical paradise, with a sip of Corellia, we hope that you're transported to the tropics, to the finca, and you can just relax and enjoy everything that's natural and beautiful about Colombia.
There we go. Well, honestly, Bogota is chaotic and it has its ups and its downs, but it is still a very exciting city.
It is.
And it's a city which, has given you a platform upon which to build your drinks label and your book and so on, because there is an openness to this kind of creativity and not only the expat crowd, but also Colombians are very excited when something new is produced and it can promote Colombia in a favorable light. So we always have to think about that as well.
Yes.
But for the sparkling fruit juices, do look up Corellia.co. There we are. Had to begin to the Colombian website. And if you've forgotten already, we're looking at the book, The Paris Picnic Club, which was written by Shaheen Pirbai and Jenny Levitt, and Jenny did the illustrations as well. And if you do decide to venture in and do some of the recipes that are here in the book, which I can recommend, then they look mouth-wateringly good. Hashtag them. Hashtag Paris Picnic Club.
Exactly.
Right?
Perfect.
So once I buy this book, and then I will hashtag all of my failures so that you can see them. But no, it's really exciting, and it's really nice to be able to follow up and to be able to see the progress and what's going on. And I think that's part of why I wanted to come back to talk to you, because this is good news. And maybe 3 years later, and look at how much you've done, and Colombia. Colombia has been part of that too.
Of course, Colombia's been a huge part of it.
And so let me just say, well, you know, congratulations for this, and I hope I can drive you at least one more sale through my pen.
Right.
And we'll link
you.
It on the Facebook page and Twitter and what have you. But this has been a fun show, episode 238, to talk about something, you know, that's not politically related.
and
not about anything, you know, the nefarious issues going on in Colombia. So thank you, Jenny.
Thank you so much, Richard. I really appreciate it.
You're most welcome. It's been really nice. And now, you know, and go off and enjoy your 4-month-old daughter, who's lovely there next door. And it's been fun. So please check us out. That's Colombia Calling. It's on my website, richardmccall.com, but Colombia Calling's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. It's on Podbean. We're on SoundCloud. Basically, anywhere that you can download, you'll find Colombia Calling. Keep spreading the word. You can get in touch with us, ColombiaCalling@gmail.com, and at Twitter @ColombiaCalling. I am on the social networks all the time because we're always in traffic. So anyway, this is me signing off, Richard McCall signing off, Colombia Calling, episode 238 with Jenny Levitt. Thank you again for listening. We'll be back next week with more interesting stories about Colombia and people doing things Colombia related. Thank you again.